Garin Braden smiled and nodded encouragingly to the dowager with the blue-white hair and the gaudy string of pearls. His group had 3 gunmen herding 9 prisoners, including a little girl of perhaps 9. From their stature and quick motions, Garin assumed that all 3 were young. 2 carried AKMs. The 3rd, who seemed to be a sort of officer, carried a handgun, a Beretta, or the nearly identical Brazilian Taurus. They were highly excited, perhaps more than even the circumstances called for. That concerned him. Something about these self-proclaimed terrorists, or people's revolutionaries, struck him as phony. He was particularly suspicious about Spanish-accented revolutionaries cropping up right off the coast of loudly socialistic Venezuela. Indeed, for so-called revolutionaries to pull so drastic a stunt within airstrike range of Venezuela smacked of an attempt to discredit or embarrass the government, or even a false flag attempt to justify violent U.S. retaliation. While Garin knew of the existence of various parties who might have the means and inclination to do such a thing, his gut response told him this was really about ransom. Or extortion might be a better term. The hijackers would systematically rummage the ship for valuables. Then they would negotiate a stiff cash settlement from the cruise line to get their ship back, as well as their passengers. As far as he was concerned, that was fine. The cruise company's craven but entirely understandable capitulation would make it difficult, if not impossible, to recover the cost of his own valuables through insurance. On the other hand, the sum of it, including the little bauble with which he had chosen to grace Anya's charming swan-like neck, amounted to scarcely more than pocket change. Should the terrorists actually annoy him, they'd find out that as a true son of the Renaissance, Garin had forgotten more about exacting vengeance than these modern upstarts would ever know. His reach, should he really wish to extend it, was as long as his memory. And the fact he had forsworn cruelty for its own sake hundreds of years ago by no means implied he was averse to making examples of those who crossed him.
Move it! Move it!
The leader of the gunmen pushed the group of captives out the door of the grand ballroom and into the corridor. He struck at one older man with his pistol. Garin grimaced at the nitwit, using his gun as a club. He hated to see anything done badly, and anyway, his action was inviting accidental discharge. The man was barely in control of himself, and that was the worst thing. The little girl, wearing a prim but visibly expensive blue silk dress, her blonde hair pulled into painfully tight pigtails, suddenly broke away between the other 2 masked gunmen and raced back toward the doors of the grand salon.
Mommy! Mommy!
Hey, you! Stop!
Garin frowned as the terrorist raised his handgun at the fleeing child.
Wait.
Garin stepped in front of the masked man, holding up his hands. The terrorist pivoted towards him, the barrel of his gun leaving the girl. The men deep in the immense ship's brightly lit cargo hold paused in their work as gunfire clattered through the ship.
Idiots.
Like the revolutionaries above, the terrorist's head was encased in a ski mask. The resemblance ended there. The dozen men working in the hold wore casual street clothes appropriate to the tropics. All of them were much calmer than the raging, rampaging, camouflage-clad hijackers, even the several who stood guard holding MP5 submachine guns with their barrels thickened by built-in sound suppressors. Their leader was a short man with a powder-blue shirt open to reveal a thick thatch of dark chest hair, silver-dusted and growing down toward a hard, aggressive paunch. He took a lit cigar from the mouth of his own ski mask.
Hey, give him some credit! Supposed to be a diversion. What's more diverting than a damn firefight?
Or a massacre. It's all good fun until the chopper loads of seals start falling on a boat from the sky. Sheep.
Shut up, both of you. That's all the more reason to hurry up and get that bad boy loaded on the forklift.
Boss, he's a front end loader.
Who asked you? What is this, remedial English? Now move it, you assholes. We got us a boat to catch. Boat, not ship, Mr. Teach and Learn Network. And watch your fingers. That crate weighs a ton.
Slowly, Garin picked himself up off the carpeted deck. He reached to the ruffled white front of his tuxedo shirt. His fingertips came away bloody. He scowled thunderously.
Oh, you stupid bastard. Do you have any idea how much that stings?
The hijacker's eyes almost bugged right out through the holes of his balaclava-style mask. Garin skipped forward. He batted the handgun offline with a quick swipe of his right hand. Then, closing fast, he clenched the hand to deliver a back fist to the side of the gunman's head. Garin's left hand had grabbed the wrist of the man's gun hand. He caught the pistol as it slipped from lifeless fingers. Then he twisted counterclockwise and snapped his arm straight out. The other two hijackers were still staring in slack-jawed amazement. Garin shot one between the eyes. His partner was a little quicker on the uptake. He grabbed an elderly lady around the waist and tried to shove the muzzle brake of his AKM under her ear. It was a stretch, but he was well-motivated.
Drop the gun, or I blow her head off!
Garin recognized the automatic fire from somewhere off through the bulkheads. He could only hope that that was Anya swinging into action. Garin swung his arm around until the terrorist's staring right eye, visible inside a curl of his hostage's white hair, was perched like a plum atop his foresight post. She turned and looked down at her captor. Then she looked back at Garin. She seemed more startled than afraid.
That was a remarkable shot, young man.
I learned from the best.
Garin wondered what she'd say if he told her that meant Wild Bill Hickok.
You folks should find some place to hide.
Garin felt as if he'd been kicked by a mule. His body armor, worn from habit because his business dealings had a tendency to turn nasty, couldn't prevent bruising from the impact of such a close shot. Earlier, Garin had ordered his security force to stand easy and await events, via a high-tech and very well-concealed microphone. Now he keyed the hidden mic again.
Gentlemen, you may now neutralize the other hijackers.
Anya was moving. Her total lack of coordination on those ridiculous spiked heels acted to her advantage. She tottered a couple of quick steps toward the gunman, then stumbled against him. He caught her reflexively with his left arm. It left him still clutching the Kalashnikov's pistol grip with his right hand and his finger still on the trigger. But in grabbing her, he automatically dropped the weapon offline. It no longer threatened the innocent hostages. His eyes went wide and his pupils dilated inside his mask as his left hand closed around Anya's right butt cheek.
Ah, it would be a waste to shoot a hot chica like you.
I think so, too.
Anya snapped her right backhand into the hijacker's Adam's apple. As Anya turned away from him, she formed her right hand in a fist and exerted her will. Obedient to it, the hilt of her sword filled her hand, summoned from the otherwhere where it rode, invisible but always available. The other gunman goggled at Anya, struggling to swing his heavy rifle up to shoot her. Somehow, Anya managed to execute a flawless high-line lunge in her heels. She drove the sword through the man's sternum to the hilt. He bent over as he took the blade, or it took him. He was literally dead on his feet, his heart virtually cut in two. Anya let go of the sword. It vanished back to its private dimension. She grabbed the Kalashnikov as it fell. Still clutching his ruined throat with his left hand, the young man Anya had stunned was raising his assault rifle to shoot her. She didn't raise the barrel of hers past her hip. Glancing around the shocked faces of her fellow hostages, she quickly settled on the young steward with the prominent forehead as the calmest looking of the lot.
You, take the gun. Get the people in the storeroom and guard them.
He nodded and quickly knelt to recover the second Kalashnikov.
And watch where you're pointing that.
Oh, right, sorry.
Hastily, the steward lifted the muzzle away from Anya's navel. She smiled to take the sting from the tone she'd used.
No problem. You might want to shake him down for more weapons and extra magazines.
Sure. What about you? Where are you going?
You never saw me.
Anya searched the man she had killed. She came up with two spare magazines, then frowned, wondering where she was going to carry them.
But that sword you used, where'd that come from?
What sword?
Anya settled on unfastening the dead man's web belt. It was bloody. She grimaced, but pulled it out from under him. When she stood up, she saw that everyone was staring at her with a combination of fear and awe. She felt hurried relief that, in apparent violation of the laws of motion, her breasts had not escaped custody in all the commotion.
Listen, people. This is secret stuff, okay?
I know. You're some kind of special operator.
I was never here, okay?
Anything you say, ma'am.
The steward seemed to be trying not to hyperventilate. She reckoned she had probably tripped the switches for all his adolescent male fantasies at once. She turned to look at the others again.
What you saw is a big bald guy in a tux take these two down. You didn't see any details because you were busy ducking like the smart people you are. You really don't remember it clearly anyway. You're so traumatized and all. Do you understand? This is extremely important. Nod. Great. Now, you. What's your name?
Tommy.
Nice to meet you. Now, you nice folks, all go in here and do what Tommy tells you. And Tommy will keep watch and take care of you and remember his responsibility is to stay with you and not under any circumstances to play hero. Right, Tommy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to go deal with some more of these bad guys. And once more, you never saw me because I was never here.
Didn't see a thing.
Anya buckled the gory web belt around her narrow waist.
Ugh, I must look like a direct-to-video prom queen from hell. But we do what we have to do.